Aspen Avionics says certification is imminent. Southwest says it will dispute a $10 million fine. And Boeing's Dreamliner causes more insomnia. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, March 10th, 2008. Aspen Avionics tells ANN it has completed all its FAA certification work and testing of the EFD-1000 pilot and pro-primary flight displays. Final review by the FAA Aircraft Certification Office is all that remains for the products to receive their TSO, or Technical Standard Order, and STC, or Supplemental Type Certificate. Turning on the delivery spigot won't come a moment too soon for many aircraft owners. The sales backlog for the innovative glass panel retrofit is said to be considerable. Aspen said in its official statement, quote, "The FAA and Aspen have enjoyed an excellent working relationship over the past 18 months since initiating this project to certify the Evolution Flight Display System under TSO and STC. By working closely with the FAA at every step, we've been able to resolve questions and issues in real time. We are on track for shipping FAA-certified Evolution flight displays to Aspen-authorized dealers by the end of March and for beginning customer installations in April," unquote. Southwest Airlines has responded to Thursday's FAA statement that the airline faces a $10.2 million fine for failing to perform fuselage fatigue inspections on its oldest 737s within federally mandated timetables. Southwest points out that the inspections in question are part of, quote, "many routine, redundant, and overlapping inspections of our fleet," unquote. The airline also points out it was the first to catch the oversights, quickly did the required inspections, and notified the FAA on its own. Quote, "The FAA approved our actions at that time and considered the matter closed as of April 2007. The Boeing company, which manufactures all of our aircraft, also supported our aggressive compliance plan and has issued a statement confirming that we acted responsibly and, more importantly, that the safety of our fleet was not compromised," unquote. If Southwest is surprised at the timing of the FAA charges, so is the Professional Aviation Safety Specialists. The union represents FAA inspectors and says the agency failed to act on the allegations made against Southwest in a timely manner. Past President Tom Brantley issued a statement which says, in part, quote, "It is appalling that the FAA chose to impose this penalty only after several months of investigations by Congress and the threat of a pending hearing instead of immediately addressing the implications brought forward by inspectors over a year ago. It is unfortunate that the inspector assigned to Southwest Airlines had to resort to invoking whistleblower protections in order to have his claims validated. The bottom line is that the FAA appears to be more concerned with keeping airlines solvent rather than safe," unquote. Southwest says it's eager to resolve the FAA's concerns and will respond officially to the agency's letter of penalty. The Dreamliner threatens to become a bad dream for Boeing. On Thursday, an analyst went on record saying he expects another delay in 787 deliveries. Citing unnamed sources in a note to investors, Goldman Sachs analyst Richard Safran says Boeing, quote, "continues to underestimate the amount of work required on the 787. Changes to the airplane have caused a delay in completing wiring of the aircraft," unquote. His comments were reported by Bloomberg. Safran says initial power-up may not occur now until the end of June. That would push first deliveries to the third quarter of 2009. Boeing's official target date remains early 2009. Boeing claims 857 net orders so far for the plane. Asked about Safran's predictions, Boeing's Yvonne Leach commented, quote, "We will communicate to customers on this around the end of the first quarter," unquote. Meanwhile, over at Boeing Integrated Defense, executives pushed for a debriefing on the KCX tanker decision sooner than the March 12th appointment the Air Force set, and they got it. The Air Force completed a debriefing on Friday, explaining to Boeing why the Northrop Grumman Eads bid to replace aerial refueling tankers for the Air Force was chosen over Boeing's. VP and KC-767 program manager Mark McGraw said on Friday, quote, "While we are grateful for the timely debriefing, we left the room with significant concerns about the process in several areas, including program requirements related to capabilities, cost, and risk, evaluation of the bids, and the ultimate decision. Our plan now is to work through the weekend to come to a decision on our course of action early next week," unquote. Which is now early this week. We'll keep you posted. Up next on ANN, two airliners wind up on grass at snowy airports. The lone survivor of a March 1st fly-in accident remains hospitalized. and ATA drops several flights from Chicago Midway. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply canal tips composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for March 10th, 2008. On the web, you'll find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Passengers on at least two airliners got to experience grass field operations over the weekend. In Columbus, Ohio, passengers on a Continental flight arriving at Port Columbus International Airport in a snowstorm on Friday commented they thought the taxiway was unusually bumpy. One passenger told 10 TV News, quote, "You looked outside and you could tell you were in the grass," unquote. The pilot had missed a turn while taxiing. The plane had brought its 131 passengers in from Houston. There were no injuries reported in the incident, which happened about 11:30 p.m. local time on Friday. A few hours later, about 8:15 a.m. Saturday morning, a Northwest DC-9 arriving at Mitchell International Airport in Milwaukee, Wisconsin from Minneapolis made what appeared to be a routine landing on the main north-south runway, but the pilot missed a turn and wound up with a nose wheel in snow-covered grass, with the back of the plane still blocking the runway. Snow removal crews scrambled to clear the longer of the airport's two east-west runways and told the Milwaukee Journal-Sentinel normal flights were to resume within 2 hours after the incident. Again, no injuries reported, and the plane was said to be stuck but undamaged. A week after a tragic accident at a Florida breakfast fly-in, the lone survivor remains hospitalized. The event was EAA Chapter 866's monthly pancake breakfast at Dunn Air Park in Titusville in Brevard County on Florida's Space Coast. The pilot of a Velocity XLRG was executing a go-around because he'd closed too quickly on an aircraft landing ahead of him on runway 15. Before he could climb out, he reportedly drifted too far left, and his aircraft's wing hit and nearly severed an RV-8 on the parallel taxiway. The two occupants in the RV apparently were killed instantly. Bill Hess and Phil Schacht were both pilots who lived at the nearby Spruce Creek Residential Airpark. The Velocity cartwheeled, ejecting one occupant, came to rest inverted, and was fully engulfed in flame. Passenger Donald Key died the following day. The Velocity's pilot, identified as 63-year-old Ulrich Christen, remains in critical condition. The NTSB's initial report is available from a link at the bottom of the print version of this story on our website at aero-news.net. Citing high fuel prices, officials of ATA have announced they'll drop domestic flights from Chicago Midway Airport April 14th and international flights to Mexico from the airport June 7th and reevaluate their business model. The Associated Press reported the decision. The airline opened its hub at Midway in 1992. Rob Binns, ATA's chief commercial and planning officer, blamed fuel prices for the change, but said the company's planes will keep flying. Quote, "We will redeploy our ATA aircraft in profitable charter service," unquote. Over the past few months, ATA dropped a total of 10 daily flights from Midway to New York and Washington, D.C. The airline still flies to Dallas-Fort Worth and Oakland from Midway. The airline says it will continue scheduled flights to Hawaii from Oakland, Los Angeles, Phoenix, and Las Vegas, although those routes are also threatened by fuel prices. The airline has operated a codeshare agreement with Southwest Airlines since 2005, and ATA will continue offering Southwest customers service to Hawaii for now. The airline has come full circle. After June, ATA will be primarily a charter airline, just the way it started out 35 years ago. Clifford Development Group of Toledo, Ohio, has been hard at work trying to certify its installations of the Williams International FJ44-3A engines on the Cessna Citation II and Citation S2. The company announced on Friday that completion of that project will be delayed while it sources a new air data integration unit to inform the engine's full authority digital engine control. Clifford announced an agreement on Friday with Innovative Solutions and Support Incorporated to provide the certified unit to meet newly defined FAA certification requirements for FJ44-3A engine installations. The system will use triple redundant total air temperature sensors feeding the FADEC. Clifford says an earlier agreement ended when the first vendor withdrew from the project after losing a long-running intellectual property lawsuit. When they're ready, Clifford's Citation II and S2 engine conversions will sell for about $2.19 and $2.28 million U.S., respectively. Still ahead, small Montana cities find themselves with no scheduled airline service. The Navy helps the Coast Guard with a sea rescue. And Swift is a great attribute, except when you're landing. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, March 10th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. Saturday morning marked the end of an era in Montana and the beginning of a scramble for former customers of Big Sky Airlines. The regional carrier, which had connected small markets in the western U.S. since the 1970s, lost its government subsidies under the Essential Air Service Program. The federal contract was pulled when Big Sky could not afford to keep flying its 19-seat Beech twin turboprops on some subsidized routes it recently took over in the eastern U.S. Effective February 1st, the $8.5 million annual contract for service to seven Montana cities was awarded to Great Lakes Aviation of Cheyenne, Wyoming. The Billings Gazette reports the airline couldn't buy or lease the planes needed to serve the routes for at least a few more months. So, after the last Big Sky flights Saturday morning, scheduled passenger air service to Glasgow, Glendive, Havre, Lewistown, Miles City, Sydney, and Wolf Point went on hiatus. The subsidized flights flew nearly empty most of the time, but some customers depended heavily on them. Some are already investigating alternatives in general aviation. Glasgow's Francis Mann Deaconess Hospital used Big Sky to shuttle relief doctors in from other cities to spell its ER staff. The hospital owns a Cessna 210, but Administrator Randy Holum tells the Gazette he's reluctant to dispatch a piston single over the mountains in the winter. So, he's looking at charter flights and big increases in costs. Quote, "That's probably going to cost us $3,200 a weekend to fly somebody up and back. Assuming that Great Lakes gets up and running by the end of July, it'll cost us $32,000 just for ER travel for the next 19 weeks, unquote. Sean Hansen, the general manager of the Nemont Telephone Cooperative, said employees and board members flew Big Sky flights from Scobie so often the company bought tickets in bulk. Now they'll have to fly in and out of Williston, quote, and we'll be doing a lot more driving, unquote. Other former customers are bemoaning the fact that no twin-engine aircraft appear available at reasonable hourly rates. It's not clear whether they've looked into on-demand services, which might be less expensive than traditional solutions. Vern, Ed, are you guys listening? Charter aircraft service NX Aero now has available a recently purchased Eid Sakata TBM-850 turboprop. The new plane's faster cruising speed and climb rate compared to the TBM-700 allows reaching 31,000 feet in as little as 20 minutes. The company says it's also one of the most fuel-efficient models on the market. NX Aero will continue flying its TBM 700 too. Founder Steve Castle beams, quote, "We are unique in that we provide customers with the transportation they need using the most fuel-efficient models in the skies. You could say we are doing a service not only to our clients, but to the environment as well," unquote. Both planes seat six. NX Aero is based at Beverly Municipal Airport, 15 miles north of Boston, Massachusetts. A civilian diver was rescued Thursday off the coast of Florida after the U.S. Coast Guard requested assistance in a search from the U.S. Navy's USS Theodore Roosevelt. A Navy SH-60F Seahawk helicopter, assigned to Helicopter Anti-Submarine Squadron 5, also known as the Night Dippers, participated in the search, found the diver, and took him to Naval Air Station Jacksonville, where he was transferred to civilian medical care. Captain Ladd Wheeler, commanding officer of the Roosevelt, commented, quote, "Providing assistance to mariners in distress is the obligation of every ship and sailor at sea. We were ready and willing to join in the search effort and extremely pleased that the individual was rescued," unquote. Theodore Roosevelt is currently conducting operations off the Florida coast. And finally, Science Daily reports the American Asian Micro Air Vehicle Competition opens today in India, featuring international teams flying bird-sized unmanned aerial vehicles. The tiny UAVs can look and move so much like birds, they could one day carry cameras in formation flight with real birds to give scientists unprecedented learning opportunities. One we've reported on here at ANN is called the RoboSwift, built by aerospace and zoology students at Wageningen University in the Netherlands. The craft uses an electric motor driving a propeller which folds up for drag reduction when not in use, but its most unique feature is its wings. They're modeled after the wing structure of the swift, a bird which can morph its wings into a swept shape to lower drag and morph left and right wings independently for steering. China's Xinhua News Agency reports the RoboSwift had its first flight test last week. The results? Well, they were mixed. The tiny craft reached a maximum altitude of almost 2,000 feet during its five-minute flight, which was great. But then it flew through one tree and crashed in another. The students hope to do better in the competition. Let's hope so. If you expect to blend in with real birds, hitting a nest full of eggs at V&E could really blow your cover. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves. We'll discuss one of Bob's most frequent rhetorical questions. Given general aviation's disappointing safety record, why do we keep the bar so low for pilot qualifications? And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.